chapter number 8. I appreciate every testimony that's been given tonight, and we need to keep them going in church. Amen. We had a great testimony service, I know, last Sunday night. The Lord just passed by, and we need to keep them going in church. We need them. Got some men on the front saying amen. That helps, doesn't it? Amen. And just a lot of things in this day and hour we're living in. I'm going to preach a message that, you never know what God's going to do. And I was in Mississippi a few weeks ago and sitting on the front row there of the church, and the Lord just gave me this little thought and said, preach this. And so I hadn't preached it here, but I've been preaching it some, and I just feel like the Lord would have me to preach this tonight. I didn't come to preach it, but, you know, God knows, doesn't He? He knows what we need, and He knows when we need it. And so I pray the Lord to help us. Matthew chapter 8, if you'll stand with us tonight in reverence to the reading of God's Word, Matthew chapter number 8. And so I want to just bring what God has laid on my heart here, and may it be a help to us tonight, Matthew chapter number 8. Notice with me in verse number 1. The Bible says, when He was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed Him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth His hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, see thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Heavenly Father, I do pray tonight in Jesus' name, God, that You would touch us. I pray You'd fill us with Your power. I pray, God, that You'd speak to every heart. And may You be pleased with our worship tonight. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. I want you to notice in verse number 1 with me tonight, just very quickly here. Of course, we notice the Master, as the Bible says, when He was come down from the mountain. And we know who that He is. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ is coming down. He's always on the move. I'm glad this verse and this story that we've read tonight, if it wasn't for Him, if it wasn't for Jesus, if it wasn't for the Master, then this story would not even be in the Bible. Amen? Everything about this story, it really centers back to Him, the Master. And then there's the mountain here. And I think the mountain is very important in light of the subject that we're going to preach on tonight, because the Bible says when He was come down from the mountain. So you can get that in your mind. Jesus has been on the mountain there. He has just delivered the first public sermon that He has ever preached, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. And when He got through delivering that message there, the Sermon on the Mount, the Bible said in verse number 28 of chapter number 8 that the people were astonished at His doctrine, for He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. So Jesus has delivered this great sermon on this mount, and now He is coming down. So there is the Master and there is the mountain. And then notice the multitude here. As the Bible said, that great multitudes followed Him. So there's great multitudes that has heard Jesus preach, and now they're following Him as He comes down off this mountain. But when we get to verse number 2, our text tonight, I want you to notice the Bible says here, and behold. And the word behold, you know this, it means to stop and to gaze upon. It means to fasten your eyes. It means to stop and to think about. And I think that's interesting, because when you come to verse number 2, of course, Matthew's writing through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit here. He does not want us to behold the Master. He's not wanting us to behold this great mountain. Nor does He want us to behold the great multitudes that are following Jesus. But He wants us to behold this man here. Notice the Bible says the man, and behold, there came a leper. He wants us to think about the leper tonight. And when you think about this leper, we could say two or three quick things about him, this man that we see here in this text. We would say, first of all, that he is a sick man, because if you have leprosy, especially in Bible days, you're a very sick individual. Amen? In fact, Luke says that he was full of leprosy. So what that means is that he was in the final stages of leprosy. This is a man that doesn't just have a spot or two upon his body, but he's
covered in leprosy. And so he's a very sick man. He has a death sentence on him. He doesn't have many days left. This man that's coming to Jesus is almost to the end of his rope and the end of his life here. And so he's a sick man. But he's not only a sick man, but we could also say that he is a sinner man. Amen? Because he is a man that needs Jesus in more ways than one. He not only needs a physical healing, but he needs a spiritual healing. And you know that leprosy in the Bible is a picture and a type of sin. So this man is covered. He's a picture not only of a sinner, but we would call him a big sinner. Amen? I mean, this man is a sick man. He is a sinner man. Leviticus chapter 14 gives us all the details that we need concerning this text here and what leprosy is. Of course, Leviticus deals with it in great detail, and it also talks about the gift of Moses. But leprosy is a picture, and it's a type of sin. Amen? So he is a sinner man. He is a sick man, but he is a seeking man, isn't he? Because the Bible says, "And behold, there came a leper." This leper's not hoping Jesus would pass by his way, but he's coming to where Jesus is. And when I think about this leper, I don't know everything about him from this text, but he obviously, you can see it in your mind. The Bible says, "And when he came down from the mountain, behold, there came a leper." Amen? You know, this leper, he must have been waiting for Jesus and watching for Jesus. But he definitely wants something from Jesus. He heard Christ is speaking on the mountain there. And if you take these verses and put the picture in your mind, you've got Jesus finishing this great sermon, and now he is coming down the mountain, and you've got the leper who is coming to meet him at the bottom. Amen? And I thought about the multitudes in this text and how that they were on the mountaintop with Jesus, and they heard that great sermon. Now, wouldn't you have liked to have been there and heard the first sermon, the first public sermon that Jesus ever preached? I mean, we can read the sermon, but it would have been something to have been standing there and see the Prince of all preachers as he stood and preached that sermon. And this multitude, they've been on the mountaintop. They met Jesus on the mountaintop. I don't know how many of them knew God and how many of them didn't know God. There was great multitudes. So some of them met Jesus for the first time on the mountaintop, didn't they? But not everybody gets to go to the mountaintop. This leopard could not go to the top of that mountain. He couldn't be with the great multitudes. But he met Jesus at the bottom, didn't he? And I want to preach on that subject a few minutes tonight, on meeting Jesus at the bottom. Because not everybody gets a leg up in life. Not everybody gets to go to Sunday school from the time that they can remember. Not everybody gets to be raised in a good old-fashioned, fundamental, independent, Bible-believing church. Not everybody has praying mamas and praying daddies. Not everybody got to sing in the choir from the time that they were little and young. Oh, no. Hey, some people meet Jesus on the top side of life. Amen? Some people have been introduced to Christianity and Christ as far back as their days can remember. I'll tell you, some people never had half a chance in life. Some people never got to go and hear the great sermons and never got to sit under the great preaching. But that doesn't mean they can't meet Jesus. Amen? That doesn't mean they're left out. Some people get to meet him on the top, but thank God they get to meet him on the bottom. But whether you're on the top or whether you're on the bottom, that really doesn't matter as long as you meet the Master. Hallelujah. Thank God, I'm glad I can say it's good to meet him. Whether you meet him at the top of the mountain or at the bottom, the best day in all of our life was the day that we met the Master. Hallelujah. And the important thing in this text is that there came a leper. You see, tonight, if you want to meet Jesus, all you got to do is come. That's all he did. You say, "Brother Gradley, you fishing in the same hole you was in this morning, probably so, but I'm telling you, God is beating the same drum. He's sending out the same message. The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come,' and he that is athirst, let him come." Amen? And Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." Hey, the Bible says, "Let us come now and reason together, saith the Lord." Oh, the Bible, the invitation of the Word of God is to come. Amen? I'll tell you, if you'll come come and see. You can go and tell, amen, what Jesus has done for you. And I want to say this master, this leper, somehow he decided he was coming to Jesus. There's four things I want to note about this leper tonight that I think is important. Number one, when he came to Jesus, I want you to see these four things. I want you to see, first of all, his worship. Because the Bible said, behold, there came a leper, look at this, and worshiped him. I mean, this leper comes to Jesus. He's wanting something from Jesus. But before he ever asked Jesus for anything, he worships him. And the first thing I note about his worship is that it was personal. Because there's great multitudes, the Bible says in verse number 1, following Jesus down from the mountain. But it doesn't say anything. They heard him preach. They heard the message. They were there. They were present. They was attentive. But the Bible doesn't say anything about them worshiping him. It tells me you can go to church and hear good preaching and not worship. I'm telling you, brother, there's a difference, amen, in listening and worshiping. And I'm not minimizing preaching. I think you understand that. We need as much preaching as we can get in this hour. But I'll tell you what, you can have the best of both worlds. You know that. And we saw that tonight. You can sing. You can worship in singing. We can worship in song. We can worship in testimony. We can worship, my friend, in prayer. We can worship in preaching. I'm telling you, there ought to be worship from the beginning all the way to the end. You see, you can sing without worship. You can preach without worship. I tell you, it's a whole lot better when you worship in your preaching. It's a whole lot better when you worship and you're singing. I don't know if this is helping you, but it's a helping me. It's what I'm trying to tell you. I'm telling you, if you leave the worship out, it's just all a dead mess anyway. Amen. I tell you, when you put your heart in it and you do it for the glory of God, you don't do it for any other reason. You're not doing it for the mechanics. You're not doing it for the pats on the back. I'm telling you, everything we do, it ought to be centered around worship. Amen. And this boy, he needs something from God. But brother Caleb, before he gets there, the first thing he's going to do is worship. Amen. So, well, preacher, I just don't know if I can worship in front of a crowd. Well, he did. He's not even saved, and he worshiped. I'm talking about it was personal. And then it was public. Amen. I mean, this old boy doesn't care what the crowd thinks. Don't you know there was people in those great multitudes? I'm sure a whisper had to flood through those crowds as they said, what in the world is this leper doing here at the bottom of this mountain? Who does he think he is? He has absolutely no right to be here. He needs to be without the camp. He needs to be in a leper colony somewhere. He's not worthy to be here in the presence of Jesus. Oh, I'm sure there's some that didn't approve of his worship. There was some that didn't think he had any right to worship, but it didn't hold him back. Amen. I'm telling you, he got in the presence of Jesus. And you know, I think if anybody ever really gets in the presence of Jesus and they love him the least little bit, I think they'll want to worship him. I tell you, this old boy, it worship was personal, but he didn't care. It was public. He didn't care what they thought about it. He didn't care what they had to say about it. Only thing on his mind was he's going to get to Jesus and he was going to worship him. Amen. You know, you got to get the place in church where you don't care what people think about it. You got to get a place in church. You're not worried about what somebody's going to say. Not everybody likes to go to a shouting church. Not everybody likes to go to a church where people raise their hand and they don't want to ask a question. Not everybody likes to go to church where all the people say amen. I'm telling you, friend, I want to go. Thank God I want to get under the spout where the glory runs out. I want to be around old time Holy Ghost, heaven sent, heartfelt worship. Hey, they can make fun of it, but the only reason they make fun of it is because they've never stepped out in to it. Because everybody I ever met that ever stepped out and worshiped God, they was ruined for the rest of their life. I'm telling you, if God ever gets on you, if he ever fills your vessel, if he ever turns your crank, if he ever sets down in your lap, you'll want it every single time you get around it. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I feel good right now. I may not feel good 10 minutes from now, but I'm telling you, he is worthy to be praised. I like private worship, but I thank God for public worship. I thank God we got a church where people will stand up and magnify the Lord, and people will shout, and people will say amen. It's just good, isn't it? Amen. Now, some people don't like this. That's okay. There's plenty of dead churches for them to go to. And so you go to that church over there at 100, 1,000%. I claim guilty, don't you? And I've heard people say, well, you go over there, the women shout. Well, thank God. I've been to them where they got mad and pouted and gossiped and everything. I'm glad we got some women knows how to shout, praise God. I'm telling you, if they can shout at a ball game, we ought to shout in church. Amen. If they can shout over something that'll be done in about 2 hours, we ought to shout over something that's going to last through eternity. I'm just shouting because I'm not going to hell. I'm just shouting, thank God, because we're going to heaven. I'm telling you, brother, we got something to shout about. And brother, it doesn't matter if you meet him on the mountain or you meet him at the bottom of the hill. Thank God you can still worship him. Hallelujah. And this old boy, his worship was personal, and it was public. And then I like this. It was permitted, wasn't it? You see, the crowd, I don't know how they felt about it, but I do know how Jesus felt about it. And that's the only thing that matters. They might have been a whisper amongst them that said, he ain't got no right. But you don't read anywhere where Jesus stopped him, amen? You don't read anywhere where Jesus backed him up. He didn't shut him down. He didn't tell him, you ain't got no right. Oh, no. You know why? Because it doesn't matter if you're a leper or not a leper. The bottom line is, Jesus is worthy to be worshipped. He's worthy to be magnified. We don't praise him because we're worthy. We praise him because he's worthy. We lift his name up because he's the only begotten Son of God. He's worthy. I say, all hail the power of Jesus' name. I say, lift his name high. I say, hold high the bloodstained banner. I say, oh, magnify the Lord. Oh, give glory and honor to the King, immortal, eternal, invisible, the only one true and wise God. He's just worthy. Hallelujah. We sat here all night and just called his name and just said he's wonderful. He's the counselor. He's the mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. Isn't that true tonight? He is the door. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He is the beginning. He is the end. He's that which is, which was, and which is to come. He's the Almighty, saith the Lord. He's my buckler and he's my shield and he's my strong and high tower. Thank God he's our eternal refuge. He's our rock in a weary land. He's the song of the church, and he's the shepherd of the valley, and he's the great storyteller, and he's the promised seed, and he's the lily of the valley, and he's the rose of Sharon, and he's the bright morning star. He just is, and he always will be, and he's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the Lamb of God, the Light of God, the image of God, the breath of God. He's the Son of God, the only begotten of God. He is God. Hallelujah. He's just worthy, isn't he, tonight? He's worthy. And to think that God would even allow us to worship him ought to be enough to stir us from here to the grave. I'm telling you, if you got a voice, worship him. Go to church and never go to church and don't say, make sure every time you go to church you say amen. You say, well, I don't feel like it. Well, there's only two times to worship God. That's when you feel like it and when you don't. Amen? You say, well, I'm not feeling nothing right now. No worship based on your feelings. I'm telling you, worship based off the facts. Amen? I'm telling you, the Lord is good. He don't have to be good to me to be good. He just is good. And we ought to worship him because he is good. Because his truth endureth to all generations. And his mercy is everlasting. I'm saying tonight, the fact that he would let us worship is enough that we should always get in on worship. You young people, raise your hand when you and praise God. Say amen. During the preaching, during the singing, during the testifying, get fired up. Worship God. You don't have to act like me, but don't. And I don't have to act like you, but we don't have to criticize nobody for how they act. Isn't that right? You see, some people weep and cry. Some people run an aisle. Some people shout. Some people just sit there and laugh. Oh, Brother Black, if he was here and get filled up, I mean, he just starts laughing. Amen? I'm not going to criticize that. Amen? You know why? Because that's the way God made him. I tell you, whatever you do, just get in on it. Amen? I'm telling you, if you know you're not going to hell, if you know God's been good to you, if you're saved by the grace of God, if you pass from death unto life, I'm telling you, you ought to just wade out in it real deep. I'm talking about going all the way out these waters to swim in. Amen. I mean, just get as far out as you can and let God just put one on you. Hallelujah. Amen. Isn't that right? And I thank God for old time worship. There's a crowd a few years ago, they went around making fun of the phrase old fashioned and old timey. You know why? Because they've never been neither. And I'm telling you something, I hadn't quit saying it because of that crowd, that Johnny come latelys are not going to make me nervous one bit about what I know is true. Hallelujah. If they ever fell half into what we have fallen into, brother, they would. I don't want anything to do with the contemporary movement. I don't want nothing to do with the conventional crowd. Amen. I don't want anything to do with any of that cares. Man, I'm telling you something, friend. Just give me an old King James Bible and a good church hymnal and a place on the side of the road, brother laddie, and just feel the breeze of heaven pass by. I'm telling you, we didn't come to see the color of the carpet. We didn't come to look at what color the pews were. You didn't come to see me, and I didn't come to see you, but we sure did come to see Him. Hallelujah. And if He'll show up, everything will be all right. Hallelujah. Thank God I see His worship. And then I notice His words. Look what the Bible says. He worshiped Him saying, Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. Just a few words. A little prayer is all this is. But it tells us so much. His words tells us so much about what he believed before he ever got to Jesus. He believed in his position. Look what he said. He said, Lord. Now I'm going to tell you something. This old boy, I don't know how much he knew about Jesus, but he knew he was Lord. He's a leper, but he's Lord. I can't do anything, but he can do everything. I'm helpless, but he's not. My life is hopeless, but he's the giver of hope. Wrapped up in that word, Lord, I mean, that means master. It means owner. It means ruler. It means conqueror. In that word, Lord, I mean, he believed in his position. You see, this leper, when he came to Jesus, he saw Jesus for who he was, and he could see himself for who he was. What I'm saying is that's what worship will do. It'll put us in our rightful place, and it puts him in his rightful place. I tell you, I like that phrase when they went on the Mount of Transfiguration. They saw Peter, James, and John saw Moses and Elijah, and they heard the voice of God speak out of heaven. But I like it at the end of that text when it said they saw no man save Jesus only. I'm telling you, when we go to the house of God, that's who we need to see. He is Lord. He's Lord of the living and he's Lord of the dead. He's Lord of the high and he's Lord of the low. I'm telling you, he's Lord of the rich and he's Lord of the poor. He's Lord of the black man and he's Lord of the white man. He's Lord of the guilty and he's Lord of the innocent. He's Lord of heaven and he's Lord of hell. I'm telling you, he's Lord. He was Lord before I got here and before you got here, and he'll be Lord when we're gone. He's Lord in this world, and thank God he's Lord in the next world. He's Lord in this age, and he'll be Lord in the next age. He's always been Lord, and he always will be Lord. Hallelujah. That one word, if that's all he would have said, it would have been enough. And he believed in his position. And then he believed in his plan, didn't he? Look what he said. He said, Lord, if thou wilt. You see, this leper had a will, but he knew that it wasn't up to him and his will. He knew it was up to God's will. You know, so we all have our own will. God gave it to us. But it's not about what we want. It's about what he wants. He wanted to be healed. But he knew that it depended on what Jesus willed for his life. They sang the song tonight, I Can Trust Jesus. And in that song it says that my wants and his desires don't always agree. But if I trust his will, if I lean on his will, he knows exactly what I need. You know, I've been wrong a lot of times, but God never has. I've made bad decisions in my life, but God never has. I've had regrets, and I've went down paths that I wished I wouldn't have went down, but God's never led me down a wrong path. He leadeth me, hallelujah. Job said he knoweth the way that I take, and when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Job said, I don't know what's happening today, and I really don't know what's happening tomorrow, but he said, between here and the end, I don't know what's going to happen, but I know in the end, thank God I'll be gold, because he knoweth the way that I take. Thank God, I'm glad we have a shepherd, we have a Lord, we have a master. He sees our yesterdays, and he sees our days, but I'm going to tell you something, he's done stepped into all of our tomorrows. And what a God we have. And he believed in his plan. Young people, it's good to have ambitions and goals. But don't try to plan everything out in your life. Trust God and live in the life that you have today. And let God, let God's will, let God's plan unfold in your life. And it's good not just for young people, it's good for all of us. I'm not going to kick down any doors to go through them. But a lot of times I've said, Lord, if you don't close that door, I'm going to go through it because that's the only thing I know to do. But I'm not going to kick down, I'm not going to try to make something happen. If it's the will of God, guess what? He knows how to move mountains. You don't got to make anything happen. I told somebody before I came to this church, 3 weeks before I came to this church to preach the first time, somebody asked me about contacting a preacher and getting my name put in this church. And they said, have you ever heard of Bible Baptist Church? I said, no. You ever heard of Berman Cape? I said, no. You know where Rossville, Georgia is? I know where that's at. Been there one time. I said, well, why don't you call so-and-so and get your name put in that church? You know, I said, well, I just don't believe, and I still don't. I said, I don't believe in doing that. And I still don't believe in doing that. And I made this statement. I said, if God wants me in Rossville, Georgia, they'll find me. I remember that person said, well, they don't even know you. How are they going to find you? I said, I don't know. I really didn't think I was going, Brother Laddie. And about 2 weeks later, I walked in from working on the answer machine. How many of y'all remember answer machines? And pagers. That makes it sound old, doesn't it? I walked in, that little light was flashing on the answer machine. I hit that answer machine, and when it come on, all I heard was Brother Charles Roach, Bible Baptist Church, Rossville, Georgia. And when I heard those words right there in the living room, I knew immediately I was moving to Rossville. Never seen the church, didn't know what size the crowd was, wasn't no discussion about a paycheck, wasn't worried about that. Didn't know how all that was going to work out. But I knew it was the will of God standing in that living. I told my wife, I said, I was scared to death about it. But see, God, he makes things happen. He'll work it out. I'm telling you, God knows how to work things out. And this boy, he believed in God. Do you believe in his plan? He believed his word. And then he believed in his power, didn't he? Look what he said. Thou canst make me clean. A leper full of leprosy believes that Jesus, doctors can't make him clean. Pharisees can't make him clean. The world can't make him clean. But he believed one trip to the master could make him clean. I want to tell you, I believe in the power of God, don't you? I don't have any ability. I don't have any power. I can't fix nobody's problems. I can't help nobody. I can't fix my own problems, let alone somebody else's. But thank God, I'm glad I know somebody. I know somebody who's fixed more problems than I'll ever be able to remember. When things look hopeless and things look helpless, thank God you can run to Jesus. I don't know how he does it. He doesn't ever do it the same way. Isn't that amazing? And he doesn't use the resources always that I would use or that I think he would use. But I'm telling you, God knows how to get you out of a hard place. He knows how to get you out of something you look like there's no way to get out of. When your back's against the wall and it looks like there's nothing else can be done. When the report says it's hopeless, thank God he can step right down in the middle of it and he can fix everything. Hallelujah. He's got all power. All power. All power. All we have to do is ask him. It's a little, and I notice his words. I want to ask you this question tonight, church. You don't have to, I don't want you to answer it, but I want to ask you this question tonight. Are there things that you are praying to God about privately, but yet specifically for God to do? Instead of trying to, and we all do it, myself included, but instead of trying and trying and trying, why don't you just throw your hands up and quit trying? Quit trying to fix it or make it or work it. Just start trusting. And let God have a chance to do what really only God can do anyway. There's things tonight that I have absolutely no power over. And my power is so limited, but His is not. And the only thing we can do is go to Him and just say, Lord,
help me. Prayer is an invitation to let God work in that area in your life. So all you have to do is tell God. He already knows. But give Him the invitation to do what needs to be done. This old boy, that's what he does. Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. I see His words. I see His worship. And then I notice His washing. Jesus does three things in verse number 3. You'll notice He touched him. The Bible said He put forth His hand and He touched him. Now, I don't know how long it had been, but it had probably been a long time since he was full of leprosy. Since anybody, family included, was even capable of reaching out and touching him. You know, when people go through hard times, isn't that what we do? A loved one, we reach over sometimes and we just grab their hand. Or we put our arm around someone, maybe a brother that's going through, and we pat them on the back. And we touch them, don't we? We let them know that we're sympathetic of what they're going through. But when Jesus touched this man, He wasn't touching him in sympathy. He was touching him to change his life. The Bible said He touched him. I think, and this is, I don't have no proof of this, but you don't have no proof it didn't happen, so there we go. I think the Bible said, notice here, and Jesus put forth His hand, look at this, and touched him. He's full of leprosy. I think Jesus shocked the multitude. I think He didn't look for a spot, a clean spot on that boy. I think He just reached over and touched the worst spot that you could see. You talk about a gasp come across the multitude. Nobody would dare touch leprosy. If they did, they run a high risk of getting it themselves. But Jesus has all power, doesn't He? And Jesus, you know, isn't that what He did? He reached right down and touched you in the sin you was in. He reached right down and touched you. And He touched him. And then He didn't just touch him. That's all He had to do was touch him, but He talked to him. Look what He said. He put forth His hand and touched him, saying, I will. Be thou clean. You know, I read that the other day and I thought to myself, if you go back to verse number 2 and you look at verse number 3, you look at what the leper said, you look at what the Lord said, you know what Jesus did? He just took His prayer, the very words that He said. Lord, if Thou wilt, I will. Thou canst make me clean, be Thou clean. You see that? Jesus just took His prayer and turned it into a promise. He just took the very same words that leper said. Lord, if Thou wilt, I will. Thou canst make me clean. Well, be thou clean. He washed that boy. And he used his own prayer. He took a little word out of there. It's a word of if. There's no ifs with God. Amen. I'm telling you, on our end, we don't know. We pray about the things we do know, and we pray about some things we don't know. We don't know what God's going to do, but there's no doubt in His vocabulary. There's no ifs in His vocabulary when it comes to His power and it comes to His capability. And He said, Lord, if Thou wilt, He said, I will. Thou canst make me clean, be Thou clean. You know what God will do if you'll pray about a certain thing specifically? God will take your prayer and turn it into a promise. And He spoke this leper's language, didn't He? And He transformed him. Look what He did. The Bible says, and immediately his leprosy was cleansed. You notice the leprosy was cleansed. He was washed immediately when the Word of God was spoken. You know what will cleanse you? The Word of God. Faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Bible said we're washed through the Word of God. It cleanses us. Reading this Bible every day. Why do we need to read our Bible every day? Because it cleanses us. Purifies our mind. It purifies our heart. Amen. You can go to church and have a good day all day on Sunday and go home and say, man, that was a great day at the house of God. Even go to the altar and walk away and you feel real good about church on Sunday. So we had a great service, but I'm going to tell you something. By Monday afternoon, you're going to need another bath. Amen. You're going to have to open this book. You can't just go from Sunday to Sunday or Sunday to Wednesday. I'm telling you, you got to open the Bible. Hey, you took a bath this morning, or at least I hope you did. And you might have cleansed yourself real good and you're clean, but I'll tell you,
you come tomorrow, you're going to need another bath. Amen. You know why? Because we live in a world filled with dirt, and you don't have to do anything. You can just sit down, and in about 24 hours, you're going to need another shower. You're going to need another bath. You know why? Because that's just how we are. We need a daily cleansing, and so it is with the Word of God. But Jesus washed him. He washed him from the inside out. Amen. I want to say that's what he does when he saves a sinner. He'll wash you from the inside out. He'll clean you up on the inside, but he won't leave you there. Thank God. He'll clean you up on the outside. Hallelujah. Now these people that say they got saved 25 years ago and they never darkened the door of a church, they ain't got no love for the Word of God, the people of God, or the things of God. I'm afraid they did not get saved. They got deceived. The devil slipped them a counterfeit. Well, Brother Gravity, don't you think some people can never grow? Well, to some extent that's true, but I'll tell you, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit moves inside you. And the Holy Spirit is going to speak to your heart if you're saved. I don't care if you live in the jungles of Africa. I don't care if you don't have a Bible. Don't tell me God ain't big enough to move in on the inside and not do some work on the outside. Hey, this crowd, they're still singing the same songs. They're still living the same old way. There's never been a change. I'm not saying we can't backslid. I could do anything, and you could do anything after you get saved that you did before you got saved. But the difference is you'll never enjoy it after you got saved like you did before you got saved, because there's somebody living on the inside, and he's going to convict you and condemn you and chasten you if you get out and see it. But I'll tell you, this crowd, listen, they never changed hitching posts. They said they prayed a little prayer and said they got saved, but they're still wallowing in the same hog pen they've always wallowed in. Hey, they never slid forward, friend. That's just that simple. Amen. Now I'm telling you, when God saves you, he don't leave you where he found you. Praise God. He'll bring you up out of the muck and mire, and he'll change your life. Hallelujah. For time and eternity. And I notice his words and his worship and his washing. And then finally, look at his work. And Jesus saith unto him, look at this, see thou tell no man. Look at the silence of the leper. See thou tell no man. It's interesting because Jesus tells him to tell no man, but when we get washed, he wants us to tell every man. We understand the reason why he was beginning his public ministry. The leper silence, the leper sin. Look, he said, but go thy way. Now here's the question, Brother Andrew. The Lord says, don't tell anybody what happened to you, but go your way. Now, how's that leper going to keep from anybody knowing what happened to him? He was full of leprosy. I see that boy walking down the street and somebody said, hey, what happened to you? Oh, nothing. Nothing happened to me. Oh, no, something happened to you. I can tell you look different. You're acting different. You're walking different. No, you're not the man you was the last time I saw you. Oh, nothing happened to me. Oh, something happened to you. I'm going to tell you something. When God saves you, you're not going to hide it, friend. When you get born again, there's no such thing as secret disciples. Can I get a witness on that? I'm telling you, if he moves in on the inside of the world, we'll be able to take notice that you've been with Jesus. They'll see it in your spirit. They'll see it in your attitude. They'll see it in your vocabulary. He will make a difference, amen. I don't know how he is going to keep that quiet. The leper's sent, the leper's sacrifice. Look what he said, but go offer the gift that Moses commanded. And here's his service for a testimony unto them. This leper, think about this. The testimony he had in verse number 2 is not the same testimony he has in verse number 4. He has a new testimony because he met Jesus at the bottom. Now, I won't say this tonight. It's not really in the sermon, but it just comes to my mind. We live in a society in America, and I'm talking about in Christendom, where people want you to believe that you can be saved, and you can be saved and do this, but it's not right. There's a crowd out there. They want to go to church, Brother Danny. They want to sing the songs. They want to worship God. But they say testimony doesn't matter. In other words, you can drink a little bit of alcohol because that's okay. Or it doesn't matter how you dress. You know, it's summertime or getting it springtime, getting summertime, but we don't peel our clothes off around here. Can we get an amen?
you know. But it does, they'll say, yo, you don't want to go to church like that because that doesn't, you don't need all that kind of stuff. All them rules and boundaries and regulation. That doesn't matter. Or they'll say, well, that's just, you know, that's just Phariseeism or legalism. No, it doesn't. They'll say things like, it doesn't matter if you listen to a little bit of country music and rock music. It doesn't matter if you go to the movie house. I know that's going to get quiet. You know, pray for me because next month is 28 years and there's a danger in that because you kind of get the place where you just don't care no more. Amen. I probably should. I care about the things you should care about. But I don't really care if people get... I don't want nobody to get mad. I'm probably digging myself in a hole again. But I don't care anymore. I'm years past caring if somebody's going to blow up and get mad because I'm going to tighten it down a little bit while I'm preaching. Because, brother, this crowd needs to hear some preaching. Like we heard growing. Christians don't go to the movie house. Amen. Christians don't go to the movie house. So, well, we watch 101 Dalmatians. I haven't even seen that, but I doubt it's clean. Amen. And if you're an adult watching 101 Dalmatians, you got other problems. Amen. I'm just saying, Christians don't do those things. Christians don't do those things. And Christians always look like Christians. You say, why does all that matter for a testimony? Man asked me a question one day about something. I said, well, I'll ask you this. As your pastor, if I do that, what do you think about it? Well, I wouldn't really respect you. I said, well, there you go. Isn't that right? What's good for me is good for you. Amen. I'm just telling you. Well, I don't think the preacher, well, if I can't do it, you ought not be doing it. We're washed in the same blood, born by the same Spirit, going to the same heaven. It gets real quiet. Even in a good church like this, I've noticed down through the years, it gets a little bit more quieter, Brother Laddie, when you start preaching that. But I tell you, we need to plow the rows up a little bit. Amen. I'm coming to the benediction, but I got about five more minutes of rip hide. I don't give a rip. Amen. Good old-fashioned glory. Let's plow it up. Let's preach on some sin. Let's just deal with some things. Amen. Yeah. Hey, it matters, friend. Testimony. You look at a lot of these things going on in these churches. God help. No wonder we don't have the power of God in a lot of places. We don't live tight enough in this day and time, I'm telling you. You see, to a lot of people that go to church, they don't think it matters. But I'll tell you one thing, the world knows it matters tonight. Because it is becoming popular in America to use the name Jesus. I never thought I'd see that. And I'm thankful. There's a part of me that I'm very thankful. For the first time in a long time, you can walk in a place of business and the news be on. Of course, it'd be Fox, not CNN. And somebody will say something about Jesus and God. I don't know if they know God. I don't know if they even mean that. But I'll tell you, isn't it a blessing to hear something? And this week, they're reading through the Bible. The whole Bible this week. At Congress in one week. I don't know, some of them's using King James and some of them ain't, but I'll tell you, there's a part of it. I'm just thankful somebody's reading the Bible. I mean, we ought to be happy about something, can't we? But I'm going to tell you something tonight. The world is sick and tired of hearing people talk about Jesus and say one thing and live another way. Our testimony does matter. It matters what people see us doing and how they see us living through the week. You know? I don't smoke cigars. My wife does, but I don't. No. I don't smoke cigars. And somebody said, Rodney, you better not be smoking them neither. Amen. But somebody said, Spurgeon smoked cigars or smoked cigars. Well, that don't make it right. And I'm not down on Spurgeon. I read a lot of his books, but that don't make it right. Just because somebody else does something don't give us a right to do so. It's what the Bible says. And our body's a temple of God, and we're to take as good care of it as we can. Isn't that right? Yes, sir. for a testimony tonight. Well, that had absolutely nothing to do with the sermon, but I gave it to you anyway. All right, let's stand. Miss Sheila, come on. And I tell you what, I want us to sing, "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior." That's a good song tonight. And if you need to come to the altar and pray about something, you want to pray about your worship, you want to pray about, maybe you have a specific prayer that has nothing to do with what I preached on, but you want to bring a specific prayer, you obey God tonight if He speaks to you. And if you're lost tonight, on a Sunday evening, it'd be great if you came forward. Jesus would save you on Sunday night just like He will on Sunday morning. But you got to come. If the Lord will cleanse a leper, then listen, sinner, He'll save you tonight. You just got to come. Mom and Daddy can't come for you. You're going to have to step out and come yourself. But if you'll come, the Lord will save you tonight. We're going to sing this old song. Probably don't need a song book, but I want us to sing it with great conviction tonight. It's a great song. What page is that?
297 in the song and hymn book.
Get that song book, 297 and...